Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In our text read from the lectern, the appointed text for this day, the Apostle John emphasizes the importance of God's children loving one another and the vital need of our generation of this particular virtue. Evidently, John, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, felt it necessary to remind God's people again and again of this great truth. For many passages in his letters speak of God's people's loving one another. And so it is well for us to consider some of the instruction from our text this day as we center our remarks on the theme, the vital importance of our loving one another. First of all, what is the loving that the Lord requires of us, his people? The world has many ideas about brotherly love. John in our text speaks of the unregenerate of his day in these words. He says, they are of the world, therefore what they say is of the world, and the world listens to them. Now, a popular idea circulating in our postmodern age, in which there are no absolutes, is that everyone, to show brotherly love, should tolerate everybody else, his way of thinking and his way of living. To criticize anyone or find fault with his particular beliefs or practices is not loving. And therefore, there should be no criticism of abortionists, of homosexuals, of those who live immoral lives in every way, of liars, and so on. Let each live the way he thinks good to himself and thus be at peace with the rest. That's the way to show love. Now, we don't have to detain ourselves to comment on the absurdity and the fallacy of such a philosophy and idea of love. But what is the love the Lord asks of us in our text? We may note that the Greek language is very expressive and has many different words for different kinds of love, and the one referred to in our text is agape love. And what is agape love? One of the best ways to come by an understanding of this kind of love is to note that this love has been attributed to God. God is said to have loved the world of men so that he could save them. In our text, we read these words, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the expiation for our sins. If we then look at the elements or components of God's agape love, we can understand then a little better the love that is required of us. First of all and foremost, toward God himself, but as our text emphasizes, toward our brothers and sisters in the faith. First of all, the object of God's love was a world lost in sin, in rebellion against God, against whom he had, as the holy God, to direct his wrath. And God could very well have washed his hands of the whole race and sent all to hell after the fall, even if other people had been allowed to live thereafter. But God was still concerned for his fallen creature and yearned for fellowship with man, and so he thought of the need that had to be met in order that man could be rescued from his dilemma. And he conceived then the plan of salvation centering in his Son, and in the fullness of time executed it in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So that now the way of salvation is opened up to men because of his fully atoning sacrifice. He gave himself into bitter, bloody, agonizing, substitutionary, expiatory death so as to atone fully, finally, and forever for the transgressions of all humanity, your sins and mine included. And he saw to it that the gospel would be proclaimed throughout the world, that men could be brought to faith and thus to embrace the blessing of the atonement in their personal forgiveness and reception of life and salvation. When our text then says to us, let us love one another, this means with agape love, then we may follow the pattern of God's love if we would fulfill the divine requirement. First of all, that we recognize that we have an obligation of showing this love to every other brother and sister in Christ, none excepted, whether we are personally attracted to an individual fellow Christian or not. This is a standing responsibility. Secondly, we ought to be for every other brother and sister in Christ, for his total welfare, be concerned about him, his needs, what we can do to help supply those needs in the spiritual realm, also in the physical, and then move to beneficial action, even at the expense of personal sacrifice, if and when necessary. This means that we also will, in the spiritual sphere, continually be about the business of speaking the truth to one another in love. For the body of Christ is to build the body of Christ. We think of the Apostle Paul's words in Ephesians, where he speaks of this fellow ministry of one saint to another, that this is to continue so that all may attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God and come by mature manhood to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness and deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, that is, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. We ought to be ready to speak the word of comfort when a brother is in need of that. We ought to speak the word of admonition, for we are indeed our brother's keepers when we see one straying from the truth. We ought to be ready to forgive when others sin against us instantaneously, as a spark when it falls into the water is immediately extinguished. So when another sins against us, whether or not he has our forgiveness, we are to forgive, we are to show love, and keep our spiritual life intact. And as the situation may call for it, we should be ready to share of our physical substance with those who are in need. And then think of St. Paul's beautiful characterization of other aspects of love in the great hymn to Christian agape love, 1 Corinthians 13, where he says in part, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now, are we able to carry out such instruction? How important is it for us to be showing this kind of love? We can gather this if we note the following points of scriptural instruction. First of all, it is to have us have this love in our hearts, impelling us to all kinds of good works, that God has saved us. We have been saved to serve and glorify him supremely and to help one another. John puts it this way in the 12th verse of our text. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is brought to its goal. God has not simply saved us, but he has saved us to serve and to glorify him, that justified by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and in possession of the new life from God, we are to glorify his name by producing a profusion of those good works of heart and hand and voice that please him, as indicated in his holy word, that these are prompted by our love, and that as we love him supremely, and one another as ourselves, that we carry out such God-glorifying works. And remember that when we see such works prompted by love in our lives, these are an external testimony of the fact that we are truly in the faith, because where there is living faith, there is also this kind of evidence of the faith. And it's a very serious matter, this kind of consideration, because John says in our text, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In other words, a person who has no love in his heart or doesn't have the evidence of love that he demonstrates in his life is spiritually dead. James speaks about that very eloquently in his second chapter. Most of us are familiar with his words. And once again, I turn to Paul's reminder in 1 Corinthians 13, the first two verses. And these are particularly appropriate for all of us who teach and learn at this school of the prophets. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And what's the idea of the comparison? Noise is made, communication is offered, but the source is dead, dead metal. We are spiritually dead if this kind of love is not evident in our lives. And if I have all prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that it's to remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing, nothing in the sight of God as far as being one of his living children. Well, can we live in this kind of love? Is it possible? The answer is absolutely yes. Listen again to John. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows of God. In other words, the reference is to the new birth, the new man created in us, baptized, believing Christians, who is alive unto God, seeking to do God's will always and having the power to do it. For Paul says in the sixth chapter of Romans, sin shall not have dominion over you. It is possible to live the God-glorifying life in this particular too. Not that we never sin, but that when we have recognized our sin, confessed it at the foot of the cross, received forgiveness in the power of the new man, when we consciously, in the strength of Christ, seek to demonstrate this love to every brother and sister in Christ, this can be done. We don't only receive forgiveness, we receive empowerment from the Lord to carry out his holy directives. Now, a little postscript. We've entertained on our campus this week officers of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, and we have also members of the Board for Mission Services and staff members with us meeting on campus. And this is a reminder to us that God's agape love, while directed especially toward us who are saved, and he can do so much more for us with his agape than he can for anyone else who is not a believer, his agape love is nevertheless directed to the entire world of men, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And our love also should have that characteristic. While we can do so much more for our brethren with our demonstration of agape, we also must constantly generate this love toward all men who are rushing to a Christless eternity of doom and damnation at the rate of more than 120,000 persons every 24 hours we live. And there among them, but for the grace of God, would you and I be going. So with our fervent prayers for missionary endeavor, particularly as promoted by our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod all over the world, by our gifts and by our service, let us promote this cause of bringing Christ to the nations of the earth in our generation, impelled by a holy agape love, which is concerned about others, seeks to comprehend their needs, comprehends and has the corresponding benevolent purpose to do something about those needs, and moves to beneficial action at the expense of personal sacrifice when necessary. Beloved, let us love one another and the world, for love is of God, and he who loves is born of God and knows God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all that your mind can do, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.